Yes, excellent. Hello, welcome to our dev room. Thank you all very much for turning up. This, we're here to talk about Element Web, which I'm hoping everybody knows what Element Web is. I don't need to. Yeah, good. Yep, okay. One of the clients that Matthew just demonstrated in his talk. What we're going to talk about today is basically what Element Web is, how we got to where we got, where we are now, and what we're aiming to get to in the future, and most importantly, how we're trying to get there. Then I'm going to pass over to my colleague Florian, who's going to do a slightly deeper dive into what the technicals of what I've talked about, because he's the one doing, frankly, most of the work at the moment on our shared components. So he's going to tell you about it. We're going to do some demos and have some questions. Who are we? My name is Dave Baker. I'm a staff software engineer at Element, also on the Matrix Spec Core team. I've had the great privilege of being able to work on Element full-time for over 10, yeah, basically the life of Matrix now. You can find me on dave@matrix.org. This is Florian. He's also now working on, did I say, shared components, and also works on Element Web full-time. I, in previous incarnations, have worked on all sorts of Matrix areas, also with the VoIP team, who are up next. That's going to be a really fun talk. Don't miss that. I've seen them hacking on their demos. But back to Element Web. So how did we get to where we got, where we are now? That's probably very familiar to everybody in this room, yeah. If you've used Element Web, that's what it looks like now. It's reasonably fancy. We have designers now, and it looks quite good. Didn't always look like that. One day it looked like that. But when it, back in the days when it looked like that, boy, it was fast. That was our first prototype, and it was in React. It was quite small, not too many lines of code. It was quite snappy. You could change rooms pretty much instantly. But yeah, it had no features. We started out in 2015. It was built basically alongside JS SDK. JS SDK was built for Element Web. It was this sort of Flux model, so you dispatch all the way up to the top of the app, and then all the way, and then the data bubbles down again to the views. That was the theory. We sort of used it very loosely, and it's led to our code quality being that that's not the most consistent. It always intended, if you ever dived into the internals of Element Web, you will have seen that it's mostly backed by a project called Matrix React SDK. That's where most of the code was. Not anymore, because we got rid of it, because the idea was that you would have this reusable base of components that you could use for Element Web or any other chat app. But that was kind of the theory, and it never actually really worked. We learned, I think, quite a lot from that, of how to do this. Or how to not do this, at least. Also, there was quite a lot of logic in our components, which is not a really a good thing from a software design point of view. You don't want logic in your components. You just want your view code in your views. It's an open source project. We've had contributions from external contributors. That means you have to manage that or for your code quality, and if you want your code quality to be consistent, we didn't always do that particularly well. We've put more and more features on over the years, and like end-to-end encryption, for example, didn't exist in that early prototype. That's all gone on afterwards. Spaces didn't exist. And frankly, technology standards have moved on a lot in the last decade on the web. React is in a completely different place to where it was a decade ago. Classes look vastly different. Why is this important? I think at least, and certainly we aspire to be, leading Matrix on the web and on the desktop. And we're pretty proud of that. We're the first client. It's deployed pretty widely by OpenCode, by Bundesmessenger in Germany, chat, which Matthew and Amandine mentioned earlier. That's LuxChat in Luxembourg, and that's just a smattering of the governments, not including some of those are forks, but there's other forks, there's whole other deployments. lots of people use Element Web, and it's setting the standard, kind of. And that's sort of the point. We really believe that if decentralized communication and chat is going to succeed, it needs something that's fast and reliable, and most importantly, as fast and reliable as the closed source, non-federated competitors. Nobody's going to use it if Discord's just a better user experience, right? There's only, like, people in this room, you probably will use it because you understand why that's good, and you're willing to tolerate it being maybe not as good a user experience, but your friends and family probably aren't. So where do we want to get? We want to get to the Rust SDK, basically. If you saw Matthew talking about that earlier, why is it good? Well, both the new Element Mobile apps are powered by it. It's a bunch faster. It's got a sliding sync, which very briefly, there's the old sync, which pulls in a lot of data. It's slower. Sliding sync, newer sync, faster. Two different protocols. Rust SDK, loads more memory efficient. E2E is built in right from the start. It's scalable. The models are all shared with a project called Rumor. So that's all. And you get much more cross-platform consistency we are Element as a company, it will make a lot more sense if all our clients use the same code base under the hood. So this is why we're talking about Element Web X. Can we do this? Can we run the Rust SDK in WebAssembly and not need to write everything twice and reuse the crypto part? So how? How are we going to do that? The Element X web mobile apps are so much better now versus the legacy ones. Somebody came up to me at the booth yesterday and said, I used Element X used Element Legacy because Element X didn't have X feature that I needed. So I think that was months ago that happened, but we're still not quite at that point where the mobile apps, X apps have overtaken. We don't want that with Element Web. We don't want to start a whole rewrite because it's so painful. Can we iterate on it and replace the engine of the ship while the ship is still sailing? That's the goal. So the idea is to break Element Web into this thing called shared components, which are reusable, very opinionated, so you're not probably going to be able to use them to build a generic chat client. It's going to look like Element. The idea is that they are reusable, and we do, in fact, today, reuse some of these shared components in Element Web modules, which is a different thing I'm not quite going to talk about. But basically, we can add functionality to Element Web, and it's a different code base, and the components can be reused in both. The components are agnostic of any Matrix SDK. They don't have Matrix logic in it. You just tell them what to display and they display it. They are UI code and nothing else. We've done a few small components so far, and we're currently working on doing the room list and the timeline tiles. That's next. After that's done, the timeline is going to be a big one. Then we'll probably move on to doing the right panel, the space panel. That's the one to the very left, if you saw that. And then the login registration views. Most importantly, what we didn't do with React SDK, we want to actually prove that these components are reusable by reusing them in another app. That's a bit of a teaser for a demo later. In the long term, we want to make sure that these things are completely decoupled with really, really well-defined interfaces, so it's easy to replace the code that actually drives them. You just tell them what to display and they display it. They don't really know about Matrix at all. And then once we've got that, then we can replace the bit underneath them to speak the Rust SDK. At least that's the idea. The very least, we have this base of shared components, and it splits out our UI logic. And with that, I'm going to hand over to Florian.
Is it good? Perfect. So, First, before talking about the shared components, we'll talk about MVVM. MVVM is like the pattern. This is a description from Wikipedia. So MVVM facilitates the separation of the development of a graphical user's interface from the development of the business logic, such as the view is not dependent upon any specific model platform. So we want that the platform is the REST SDK, the JS SDK, and the view to be our shared components. So this is kind of a graphical view. So we have like a model. So the model can be the REST SDK, the JS SDK, or stores, for example, setting stores, or Romy store, whatever you want. The view is basically purely UI stuff that will be in the shared components. And the view model is kind of things that we bring, we take the data from the model, melt it in a certain interface, so the view can consume this data, and the view can also perform some actions on the view model. So, as I said, the view lives in the shared components. The shared components define like the interface, like I want this data, I want to display this kind of data. I want to call this kind of actions on the view model. The view model is in the application, like for example in Element Web, in Element Modules, on Aurora, or a kind of new client playground to play with the REST SDK in web. And which is interesting then because the view model is provided by the application, we can have a bit of business logic and we can use what we want as a backend. And internally, for the React users, the view models use React Sync Internal Store. So basically, a view model will implement the interface of an internal store, and it will produce some snapshots that the shared components will consume. So a bit of boilerplate, a bit of code, just to see. Like here, I have a view. At the top, I define like the snapshot, so the data I want to display. After the action, so basically it's a button, so I want to click on a button, so I'm clicking on the button. The view model will do something like, I don't know, I'm clicking on the button, so do whatever you want, it's your duty. After that, I have the like a boilerplate, something wiring, text wiring. Here, I have the view model. So basically, I'm implementing like the snapshots, I can see. I have like some codes, like base view model is like a class, we are putting a lot of stuff that we need to able to duplicate the code. I'm implementing this interface. I've label, which is my snapshot. And after that, I've like onclick, which is the action that I've defined in my view. Okay. So as we can see, we decouple shared components from the app logic. There is no dependency from Element Web. When I define a view, we don't use any components from Element Web. We don't use any logic from Element Web. If there's some basic logic previously, we put it in a view model. And if we need a component from Element Web, we will also rewrite it and put it in shared components. Just notes, shared components is using component for shared components or from compound. Compound is our design system where there is like some basic components like buttons, drop-down, lists. So it's kind of high-end components that we have in shared components. We try to use shared components as early as possible in other apps, like for example in Aurora or in our modules. And most of all, when we're building new things in Element Web, we put it in the shared components. So when we're building new UI or refactoring some UI, we take the effort like to move it to this new pattern and also using our design system and improving our accessibility. And it's also an opportunity to improve our tooling because, for example, we Element Web still use Webpack. And so in shared components, we use Vite, StyleTest, we use CSS modules and Storybook. The part about Storybook is important for us because when you use Storybook, we can like do some visual screenshot tests. With that, we can also have light theme tests, dark theme tests, high contrast system, and also have some accessibility tests. So we are also improving the accessibility and the non-regression of Element Web. So I have a demo about Aurora. So just a bit thing about Aurora. So It was it appears in a hackathon, I think last year. It was this at the beginning developed by in Tori, but we moved to web to use the Rust SDK in WebAssembly, so we produced some WASM and we consume it in the front end. And at the beginning, when we started that, we have the Rust SDK, but we have to copy paste the component from Element Web, which is not really great as they've said, because if we want to continue to iterate over Element Web, and we want also to try something Rust SDK, we don't have to like copy paste stuff. And of course, if we're copy pasting, we have some conflict, it would be really difficult to maintain the speed. So I will show you what Aura looks for. Yeah. So this is basic Aura. It's like a very simple client currently, but it's using the Rust SDK behind. So in this case, all the top left of Aura is using component from Element Web. So this is search sections, and this header or these buttons that you can see here are from Element. Initial components, so they are also used by Element Web. And normally, the next week, we'll have like all the room lists, which will be the same components than Element Web. So when we do improvement on the room list, on, for example, accessibility or some new design, it will be we will just have to update the dependency in Aurora. And maybe wire something in the view model if there is new interface by the view, but it will be automatically in Aurora. And questions?
Are you advanced?
Nice. Yeah,
perfect.
No. I've got one over there.
Have you looked into other chat UI frameworks? Where you can say, I take this UI and then I just plug in the
question.
The question.
Yeah. And for example, what we choose MEVM as a pattern, right? Or other.
Yeah,
because also the Element X application using the MEVM pattern. So they already have the experience, they have the knowledge. So they build a new application with them. We had a good feedback from the team, from the mobile team. So we choose to go to the same direction. So why? This is not the answer you were expecting for.
Yeah, so there's something like chat scope. It's just a UI for chat web apps. And then the question is, can we take this and put the Rust, the metrics underneath and then have a metrics client? Yeah, I put the link in the chat.
Okay, yeah. Perfect. Take a look. Thank you.
I may have missed this, but do you have any sort of timeline? When do you think, obviously, it's difficult and it's it's refactoring work, so but I wondered if you had any sort of timeline to finally sunset the JS SDK approximately.
Yeah.
So the question was about timelines and when we eventually expect to sunset the JS SDK. I guess, firstly, we're not probably going to entirely sunset the JS SDK because we realize that having a matrix JS SDK is obviously a super valuable thing for people to use. So we haven't thought a great deal about this yet, but we're likely to, if there's not a way of using the Rust SDK on the web, then provide a higher level wrapper for doing that, and then the matrix JS SDK will move to that. But yes, that probably wasn't really the question. The question was when. It's at the moment we're thinking basically year plus at least, I think, for this. We know it's going to take a while to move the shared components over. There's a lot of them. So Element Web now is using Vedozamats, which Matthew mentioned earlier, the Rust part, the crypto part of the Rust SDK. That migration took, I think, about three times longer than we were thinking. The complexity just spiraled. And of course, this is another level of complexity from that. So it's not to be underestimated.
I can add a note about it.
Go for it.
Yeah. Thank you. Also, because the current code stack of Element Web, there is a lot of business logic in current components. So when you want, for example, to migrate from Rust SDK, for example, Just SDK to Rust SDK bindings, like one small things, you have to go in a lot of code to do, and you have stuff which is linked to business stuff, which is a nightmare when you want to migrate. So that's why we take this road to first we can rebuild your UI, so we can separate the UI from the business logic, and after that we can change the business logic. So moving to the Rust SDK.
How are performances in this new implementation? Do you have something compared to the version?
The question was, what's the performance like in the new implementation? Do you mean Aurora?
Oh, yeah. You mentioned in the beginning that the first implementation was fast, then probably not so fast.
Very, very first Element Web. It was, well... One big differentiator was that none of us had very big accounts back then, so it was also slightly cheating because there just weren't very many rooms. But yeah, when you've got a few rooms, it obviously loads very fast. Sliding sync came about as a problem that once you've got thousands and thousands maybe of rooms, like someone like Matthew has, even my account takes a couple of minutes to load on regular non-sliding sync, but with sliding sync it's much, much faster. But yeah, back then I was in, 20 rooms, and it logged in pretty much instantly, I think, even on non-sliding sync. And I think the most noticeable thing was when you changed between rooms, there was no delay of things slowly loading in. You clicked it and the room was there. That was kind of one of the metrics that we measured. There's other things, interestingly, that make Element feel slightly less snappy, but actually can be your server responding slower, which is that we don't show, or how we show messages being sent, which makes the app feel sluggish if your server is taking a while to actually send the message, because we used to show it grey for a little while. Nowadays we put a little tick to the right-hand side, which is a bit makes it feel a bit less sluggish if that tick takes a while to appear. It's a bit less obvious than it going, spending ages being grey and then going black. Hopefully that answers the question.
I can just very quickly put a concrete data point in, which is that my personal account on normal Element Web uses about 2.4 gigs of RAM, which is a problem because V8 limits you to about 1.4 gigs of RAM, and so it almost immediately out of memory is when I launch, so I have to run a hacked Element desktop that removes half of the sync response, specifically read receipts, so I can load it at all. Same account on Aurora uses 80 meg of RAM. So that's the kind of difference between JS SDK and Rust SDK.
Thank you. Yeah, I would say that was round of applause entirely goes to the Rust SDK team, not me. Any other questions?
So if I understood correctly, your plan is to replace one UI component at a time, basically. So would it make sense to have a replacement, let's say, one use case at a time? For example, if some of those forks or public sector servers use only a small set of the features of Element Web, so maybe they could put them behind the feature flag and start from that small set of features that could actually care. Does this make any sense?
Yeah.
Or is everyone using all the features?
So the question was, can we sort of migrate rather than component-wise, more feature-wise, if certain servers are using certain features? I think that's an interesting one, yeah, because there are a bunch of features that probably a lot of people don't use, and yet I think they might actually align, because a lot of components will only be used in, if you turn on, everyone uses Spaces, that's a bad example. If you turn on... Yeah, something else that will only use certain UI components, we might end up doing something probably very similar. So the core experience of just go in, log in, chat, log out again, we'll concentrate on first, and then other things like adding rooms to spaces or something as more esoteric functionality will be left till a bit later. Back there?
This is not a question, I guess, about the components, but seeing as you brought up sliding sync, does this mean that the experimental sliding sync JS implementation is kind of canned for now?
Does this mean that the experimental JS SDK sliding sync implementation is canned? Kind of, yeah. The only problem with there's a specific reason why we didn't launch it, and that is essentially because we in Element Web rely on a couple of features that sliding sync doesn't implement yet. One is that Element Web implements presence, which isn't in sliding sync yet. There's one other that slips my mind right now. But yeah, there's specific things that aren't implemented, which is really annoying. Obviously, the kicker is that we will need those implemented in sliding sync if we're going to migrate. So we're going to need the same thing on the protocol level. But if we're going to need more time to do that, we may as well do the thing properly, if you like. So that was why. Another question? No? Things, anybody else? Last question. I don't think there was anyone else.
I guess a follow-on question then is, if the JS SDK is going to continue living, does that mean that the sliding sync will eventually get pushed? Because having an SDK without a full sync may be useful, or are we just going to say legacy sync?
If the JS SDK is going away, does that mean we'll kill legacy sync? Is that?
It's more about if the JS SDK.
Oh, yes, sorry, if the JS SDK is not going away, yeah, we have to maintain the thing. Yeah, if we keep the JS SDK around in its current form, I think we would probably aim to get rid of non-sliding sync eventually. It's not so much a JS SDK restriction as an Element Web one, really. I think the JS SDK is quite happy supporting sliding sync. It's just that we happen to use features in Element Web. But yeah, I think the ideally what I would like to do is move JS SDK over to sliding sync and then just use that, and then eventually the old version of sync goes away completely. And I think that's all we have time for. Thank you very much.